everybody. Hello there, and welcome once again to more independent wrestling talk starring Mr. Warren Hayes and Sean Taggart, my co-host here on Hot Shakes and Hand Dogs. How you doing, Sean?
Good.
And he freezes up the minute we start talking. He completely freezes.
I'm frozen. I'm scared. A lot of fun wrestling this weekend. Not a lot, but enough.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't the quantity this weekend, I wouldn't say. Because the show, you know, we did have some good stalwarts, you know, things that we could rely on. Some notable events. We're all going to get down to it, right? We're all going to get to it. Of course, as we roll around here. This is the podcast, by the way, in case you're popping in for the first time and you're wondering what the hell is going on here. We talk about independent wrestling, Sean and I. Especially focused on the shows that just happened a couple of days ago over the weekend. It's a good starting point. We talk about the shows and we just have some good talks over the very busy world of indie wrestling from around the world. Because I know we started talking about doing this US based, then all of a sudden I'm like, mm-hmm. I pulled out Pro Wrestling Eve, and you're like, what?
Surprise. There's more than just American independent wrestling. There's independent wrestling everywhere.
Can you believe that? Canada with these, you know, C4? By golly. It's as if people actually like wrestling.
No, it's only for Americans.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Apparently, have you heard that the Thunderdome era wasn't so bad? Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard it, you know, WWE did it right during the pandemic.
Yep.
They were the only ones that did it right.
They were the only ones, the only one in entire, in all of entertainment, sports and entertainment. They're the only ones that kept the dream alive, you know? Not the NFL, not UFC, not the NHL or the NBA.
Just WWE. Yeah. And not even AEW.
And not even All Elite Wrestling. I also seem to remember a 60-minute Iron Person match put on by Beyond Wrestling.
I remember that. I remember the whole 24-hour Fight Forever stream that GCW and a lot of partners put on together to help everyone during this time where a lot was uncertain. I remember their Indiana collective GCW ran,
right?
So
which was not without its controversy,
of course not. A lot of issues stemming out of that. A hot spot for the pandemic at the time, just a little bit.
It a super spreader event, you know. You'd hate to call it that because I don't think you.
But it was. Don't tell anyone that.
Don't tell Brett.
I know, Brett, I'm sure he at this point now fully admits it. He had a pretty good interview with Sean Ross Sapp right after all that.
No, I know. I do remember that. But hey, you know.
Lessons learned.
Lessons learned. And we're all in a better place. You know, a lot of people like to use the term post-pandemic. But no, you know, it's still here.
You know, it hasn't really gone anywhere. But
let's call it post-confinement. That's how I'd like to refer to it.
I like that. I like post-confinement. Or, you know, the lockdown frenzy is over.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting back to where we can do certain things. I mean, I'm second boosted as of 2 Thursdays ago. So got that in me. Got the boost of 5G that everyone needs, craves.
I have noticed how much better my internet connection is, and I'm triple vaxxed on top of that. Let me tell you, son, you want to watch Netflix in 4K without clogging up everything in your building, in your home, so that the kids can still play Fortnite at 4K resolution on top of that and stream. My God, man, have Warren Hayes around. he'll get that sweet 5G signal in.
So yeah, I'm quadruple vax at this point. but no one's, you know, this isn't a contest or anything.
No, it's not.
I'm
No.
not trying to show off that I have one more than you.
No, but no. Okay, well, you're quadruple. I thought you said double.
I got the second booster.
Oh, you got the second. Okay, the second booster, which of course implies. See, I got the third one because the government was. Well, there are because it's you know provincial jurisdictions here. So the province was saying, was contemplating, you know, making. Our vaccination passports, because we have some one of those, making them valid only for triple boosted people. They were said, oh, we might do that. So I was like, hey, you know what? I just don't. If that's the case, I'll go get it and that'll be the end of that. And I just, but they never, you know, they never enacted that. They never enacted that. We have that masks are coming off in public spaces this weekend for us.
We just lifted it on public transportation. So
Well, it's going to be.
Monday
Sorry.
when I went to on the train, I just was like, I forgot that they did that. So it was like a complete shock when I was like the only one still wearing a mask on the train. It was
That's got to be
cool.
wild, though.
Yeah.
That's got to be wild. After all this time coming in and seeing just a bunch of faces now,
I don't like,
mouths.
yeah, I really don't like it. So I'm gonna hide my mouth for the rest of the show. Hope you don't mind. I'm embarrassed.
At least put your microphone like between your hand and your mouth like
Okay.
this, you know, and you'll get really good acoustics too.
So, what I was trying to
Wow.
say.
Welcome to FM radio. Jesus, that was fantastic. We need all of those now. Hey, if you're listening right now on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hazen, you haven't been turned off yet. Why don't you like this video? Or subscribe. You'll never miss another edition of this jolly old banter and the wrestling talk as well, and also my own podcast on Thursday nights. But you know what, Sean? You know what I just realized as I'm doing this? I didn't change your lower third with your link.
It's okay. I don't
It's
have a
okay.
link anymore.
Look, one last hurrah.
Yeah. Okay.
One final hurrah.
Just like old times.
Just like exactly. Just like old times. But thank you everyone for joining us. Let's go ahead. Let's start talking pro wrestling. I'll take the charge here. I'll lead us in here. If you don't mind. We'll start with Enjoy Wrestling. They're back with their Renegade shows, their first episode. Was aired as usual for free on YouTube on the Enjoy channel the entire episode. Look, honestly, you as a wrestling fan have no reason to not watch an Enjoy show. There's no reason because not only are you going to get really the cream of the indie crop out there wrestling for you without you paying a goddamn cent outside of your internet. And even there, you could go to the public library, right? You could go sit there and whip out your iPad or Galaxy Samsung phone and listen to it about 44 minutes. An easy watch on top of that.
Very digestible,
Oh.
which I enjoy.
And you know what, Sean? Look, I shudder to think at how good the production value is for an Enjoy show. And you can't even say, like, sometimes we'll say, ah, it's a good, you know, good production value for an indie, right? But this is good production, period.
This is really high level production for, and for an independent, I really don't I applaud them. I do, applaud them also. Maybe they realize that going live isn't the right thing for them because they use that Mr. Smalls Theater for pretty much all their shows. It's a very beautiful theater that they run in,
True.
historic in the Pittsburgh area. So maybe it's not strong enough for a live stream, which is fine by me. If you can't stream live, tape it for tape delay. That's all you really need to do, and I honestly, I wish more independent promotions took that route. I understand, they want the pretty penny for the live streaming and gets them a little bit more buzz by being live, but some places you just can't do it.
Some places you can do it, and you know there are costs you know that go with streaming live that are just outside the crew, you know, you mm-hmm. are paying for the bandwidth and so on and so forth. And I think that I honestly think this works really well for them, because then they really have the opportunity to step up their production game. They're even doing motion graphics now. They're even, you know, it's like they're going all out.
It's like watching an episode of WWF Raw from like back in the early to mid 90s. It's very cool to see those motion graphics. I just remember mid 06 when Shawn Michaels would punch himself, you would just see him go, you know, all that.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see all those motion graphics in effect, and then some of them have fun with it. Why wouldn't you?
For instance, Zicky Dice. You know,
he was hilarious in his
Zicky Dice vomiting up he's not vomiting. He's doing micro magic, you know, just like and the speed with which she does it. Like he knows, like it's like, you know, Zicky, you got 5 seconds, you know, and
you know, I got you
3 seconds. And then the last 2 seconds, you have to face the camera. Zicky's like, we're good. And it's
nice little freeze.
It's really good. And Alec Price was made for that. Alec Price was made for MoGraph's ridiculous. And he's on this card in the first match of Renegade versus Trish Adora. So right off the bat, we have a match with two of my favorite wrestlers, two of my favorite indie wrestlers. Just some great stuff. Some great, fantastic back and forth between the two. I really, really like the match, which Trish wins with a Lariat Tubman, despite the fact that Alex Price tried everything to put her away. He even hit the Gotch powerbomb, couldn't do it. And he did a sit-out slam into an arm breaker at the end that Trish was able to fight out of. I really like this match a great deal. Thoughts? I know you watched this too.
Yeah, no, I really like both of these competitors. I mean, Trish, I've been gushing over for quite some time now. I mean, all the way back to the Iron Person match against Tony Depp, and even a little bit prior before that, because she was doing some stuff with Ring of Honor for the women's division. But, I mean, she's really put herself out there and shows consistent signs of improvement. You know, the day of that they do on IWTV, she was always mm-hmm. training when she wasn't in the ring, she was training in the ring. But you know what I mean? Like, she wasn't in a match, she was training. So she's taking her craft very seriously. And Alex Price, I feel like he's one of those guys that we gush about week after week after week. So I feel like we could play a clip from any of the past episodes and it would pretty much be the same. I do feel, you know, personally, I like Price more as a heel. I think it fits his persona a little bit better.
Yeah,
just like
it does.
Cocky, arrogant New Englander that comes out. And, you know, we see that a little bit later on. We can talk about that more. But it's really interesting to see him flourish and get these opportunities where previously he was huddled up in the Northeast, but now he's spreading his wings a little bit. We saw him down in Tennessee for Uncharted Territory. We'll be seeing him more, I'm sure, down there. But, like, it's just good seeing him get that opportunity. It's exciting. I agree.
Do you think the fact that William Regal and Triple H and Samoa Joe, since they're all gone from NXT, do you think he lost an opportunity to get signed to NXT? Because he did have the tryout, right? That secret tryout where they got Roxy from, you know, mm-hmm. he was there.
Yeah, he was there with Becca. I know that. And they chose Roxy, which she's off to a start in NXT.
She's off to a start.
So, I mean, we'll see what continues on with that. But yeah, he might have, just based on how things are now in NXT, I could see him playing up to, I could see them having him play up to that Southie type style. He would probably be called Alex Bulger, the long lost nephew of Whitey. I could see something happen there, but he dodged the bullet. He dodged a huge one.
I think he did, and us as fans as well. So I really like this match a great deal. I thought it was a lot of fun, as well as the second match, which had Violence. Honestly, my two favorite indie tag teams, Violence is Forever versus Kings of the District. And yeah, like they sold, and Joy sold me on that one right there. And it was exactly what you thought it would be. It was exactly what you thought Dominic Guarini and Jordan Blade being in the ring for me. And look, here's the thing. I've been watching Jordan Blade's career for a couple of years at this point. Because she's not super long in the game either, right? She's developed a tremendous amount of experience, which is very shocking for someone who hasn't been all that long in the business, right? And she held her own like something crazy with Guarini, like just had some great mat stuff with him, which of course is his wheelhouse. I thought it was fantastic. Violence is Forever playing the heels, you know, cutting off Eel O'Neil. Yeah, they, you know, just a good old-fashioned classic wrestling match. I really liked it. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I mean, these two played off their strengths really well. It was interesting to me because, like, I was very intrigued in Violence is Forever's match against MSP. And after, like, we talked about it and the second watch I had of it, it didn't deliver as well as I thought it did initially. This delivered, and boy, I mean, I really appreciate, you know, Jordan Blade, Dominic Greeny's action, but Eel O'Neil is such a foundation of Kings of the District, just as much as Jordan. It's crazy to see both of them really take it to the next level. They've had their rise on the Northeast scene. You know, we've seen them part of like Bill Dixon's Pride and Vibe, you know, all that stuff. We've seen them in Beyond Now, WWR Plus, seeing them again in Enjoy. It's good seeing them get the recognition that they deserve. And I guarantee you these two teams will be back for the Enjoy Cup when they go for the tag team tournament that happens later in the summer.
Well, that's exactly what happened after the match. Dominic Guarini officially entered themselves into the tournament.
Early favorites.
Early and the late favorites. What are you talking
honestly,
about?
Honestly, I could see this being a rematch.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Final. And you might just see the tables turn. But right now, what is it? Like, and look, we're not done talking about Violence is Forever. Like, they were on every show I watched this weekend. They're the Action Wrestling Tag Champions, Southern Underground Pro, C4, BLP, and Black Label Pro Tag Team Champions. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of hardware.
That's pretty much all the, like, I guess you, with Prestige has C4, which is an excellent tag team, and I want to see those two teams fight. Another team to really look out for, you know, you have the West Coast Wrecking Crew. Those two teams could put on a good show for West Coast Pro.
I agree.
Excellent. I feel like they're like kind of emulate each other in a way.
To a degree.
Like both teams to a degree. So it's exciting to see them get more notoriety and seeing them get like tag team wrestling back on the map on the indies, because everyone really focused on the big main events that were, you know, so this guy's coming back from WWE. He's facing off against the ace of that promotion. But now, you know, with Violence is Forever, teams like Kings of the District, a lot more teams are making it noticeable that tag team wrestling is back on the independent scene. It's nice to see.
Yeah. And Waves and Curls, Waves and Curls, and Beyond.
Miracle Generation.
Right.
Bear Country.
Bear Country. Mustn't forget those guys.
Who else? I mean, like I said, there's
what I'm thinking of. Iron Demon.
Sorry. Yeah. With, Shane Mercer and KTB. I haven't seen KTB in a while. I know Shane Mercer has been back in GCW. He qualified for Tournament of Survival on June 4th. So yeah, it's that coming up, but yeah, last time I saw them team was like a random Limitless show back earlier in the year. I mean, they're a fun tag team to watch. Like, these two dudes just like throw their opponents around, but also at the same time, the moonsault and battery that Shane Mercer does is incredible.
Yep.
for a guy his size.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there you go. That on my end, that so, I really enjoyed the Enjoy show. What are you going to talk about?
Oh, you did. Yeah, that was good. We take a few, couple hour drive towards the east, southeast a little bit. We drive down there, and we're still in Pennsylvania. We're in Easton, Pennsylvania, where we're going to be watching the Lehigh Valley Athletic Commission put on the Bash at the Brewery. And I mean, if this wasn't a Chikara reunion, I don't know what show you're watching, because this clearly was from Bryce Remsburg's making it all about him, like he does every Wednesdays and Fridays on AEW Dynamite and Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
Decided to steal the show right in the early and make it about him, when clearly it was about Avery Good, professional wrestler who was having his final match of his career, his 10th match. So he had 9 matches, all losses up to that. And his 10th and final match was against Abby Jane.
There you go.
And, you know, honestly, from a standpoint of why Abby, I get it. He was instrumental in getting her up to speed, really, in that very weird final year of Chikara. She started in Chikara right when the pandemic happened, and then we all know what happened with Chikara. We don't need to go into it. Cheeseburger took all those kids in and now has a home for them, training under Cheeseburger, learning a little bit new stuff. But honestly, I feel like for a wrestling daughter, that's Abby to Avery Good. So having those two wrestle against one another, it was a sentimental match for him. You know, Bryce made it all about him countless amount of times.
We're joking, by the way.
Oh, hell no.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Come on.
You're right.
You know. Look, here's the thing. I much prefer my referees to have some kind of personality than just being like, you know, woodwork counting machines, right? I like that referees have names, and I don't mind that they have personalities, right? Bryce has always been exuberant, but he's also always been a very good ref, you know, because there is such a thing as a shit ref, like legitimately, not just kayfabe, you know. There is They're such a thing as a bad ref. And Bryce is legitimately one of the most solid out there.
He's probably, he's easily one of the best on the independents, hands down. I mean, now in AEW, but at that time, he was like one of the highly regarded officials. Avery wins his match in, you know, a little bit of cheating fashion with the help of WWF Hall of Famer.
Former
WWF Hall of Famer, Sinny Bacabella, who, let me tell you, you know, he plays that gimmick very well of a sleazy 80s manager, and I love every second of it.
Now, are we sure it's a gimmick?
No, it's totally him, including including the wig.
And the absolutely irrefutable removal from the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So this is totally him to a T. But, you know, Avery Good finally got his final, in his finals match, got his win. But all of a sudden, a voice from his past comes over the loudspeaker, and it's none other than Mr. Touchdown himself. And like I said, this was a Chikara reunion show, so it made sense that his final match would be against somebody of, you know, power in Chikara.
And a former tag team partner, former allies. Mm-hmm. What is it? He's his fifth cousin-in-law, something like that.
Yeah, it's something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this, for somebody who hasn't wrestled since Mania Week in 2019 in a ladder match and a loss to Avery Good, then Dasher Hatfield, this match, he got the rust out early. And I think having somebody like Avery in the ring with him, it just made it easier for the both of them to just pick up where they left off.
Two guys who have been up and down, like who've done it all together, right? They're Chikara graduates at pretty much the same time. They came up together. And they had the tag team. They were the the dugout, wasn't it that it? Dasher's dugout. He was part of that.
He was part of that. Yeah. The throwbacks were their tag team name.
The throwbacks. I mean, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, this was really something. It was a delight to see something like this happen, because honestly, if it wasn't going to be Mr. Touchdown, you could probably, you know, call for Boomer or Weber Hatfield now to come out there and run and do something like that. And honestly, I thought that was what they were headed to, to finally have Weber get his win back against Avery and make Dasher and make him wear the mask for the final time type thing. But it was a very fun match.
I didn't watch the entire show. You were there. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch the entire show, but you told me, check out the last, I wanted to watch Avery's match regardless, you know, cause it is an end of a career for him. We could talk about it in a second though, but I enjoyed it. And I think we saw the same thing, in regards to Mr. Touchdown's contributions to the match. I think the minute that he really got his sea legs back, things started to gel and jive. I really liked the final 2 to 3 minutes of the match before they restarted it. I mean, there, mm-hmm. you know, that I really liked the final sequences that they were pulling out. It was a lot of fun. I thought it was a you know, the Avery probably very likely went out the way that he wanted to, considering mm-hmm. the circumstances. He couldn't be happier, I guess, in that regard.
No, and I mean, one thing to note too, there was a cameo appearance earlier in the show by one Orange Cassidy, mm-hmm. Who came out and just gave Dan Champion during his trios match a thumbs up, which caused his team to lose because he was distracted by OC. So there was that. There was a lot of nice throwback moments to, because I feel like LVAC, when they put on a show, they do a really good job to give the Aurora and like the feel of Chikara in that short time frame that they have. They don't run very often, maybe run like 2 or 3 times a year, but those 2 or 3 times a year you see people from Chikara's past come out and really have a good time with one another.
How do you think, like I saw a couple of, you know, videos that Avery Good put out on his Twitter, you know, and sort of reflective on his career, mm-hmm. you know. Do you think that he missed the big time? Or do you think that this was like always, do you think like the Indies was his home, his destination? Because, you know, he did do the tryouts. He was on AEW last year, you know, earlier this year.
I really feel the mass Dasher Hatfield gimmick really held him back of what he could have become. I think if he wasn't into that, if he wasn't that gimmick and he wasn't so fixated is the wrong word, but tied to the Chikara or the ascent, and so to speak, like if he was more, you know, around on the Indies, he wasn't just doing the random offshoot Chikara shows and stuff like that. I feel in a way that Chikara held him back into becoming something much more. And it's unfortunate that it took Chikara closing and then this final, like, 2-year run for him to really get those legs out and make himself notice, like, because he was getting booked pretty much everywhere on the Midwest and the East Coast. It was a shame he never made it out west, because I mean, I think he could have been something there, but like I do think Chikara held him back.
Yeah, I think so too. I think he's, you know, he'll like you said, you know, he'll be always so tied into Chikara right to the end, just because of the position he had been put in. You know, like he was the hero, he was the top baby face of the company for so long, and well, like you said, you know, we all know how that ended up. But I get the impression that he was, towards the end when everything sort of crumbled, he was maybe a lot more concerned on, he was a lot more concerned with taking care of the wrestlers that had just come in, you know, help them find a new home, kind of like he did with Abby, you know, mm-hmm. new homes, get them on their feet, get them started. You know, he's been wrestling for about 16 years at this point, right?
So, yeah.
You know, it's not... I don't know if we're done seeing him, honestly. You know how wrestling retirements work, right?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if we're done seeing him, but I do think that he's going to take a nice long vacation, so to speak.
Sure.
I think he wants to, you know, heal up a little bit. He came back from that ankle injury. I don't know if at 100%, but get him back to where he needs to be.
And you know what? Something like what happened to Shikara, right? Has to be mentally draining because he was very, very involved mm-hmm. in all of that.
I think he was one of the head trainers of the school.
It had to be. Yeah, he was. Of the Monster Factory? Yeah, he was. And it has to be extremely draining and difficult for someone to go through all of that. And then let's not forget, and there was the Camp Leapfrog shit, Sean, on top of that. That's, you know?
Right.
At yeah, some that... point... Like, you can love wrestling as much as you like, you know, but we're seeing it, you know, again with Kota Ibushi, you know, as we're recording this. There's always this seediness in wrestling, this darkness that's there. And in the case of someone like Avery, where he's like, okay, well, I'm leaving somewhere to go to a better somewhere, hopefully, and hopefully build something better. But no, we're back to fucking square one. At some point, I can understand someone who's like, I've lost faith in this. I'm good. I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, I mean, he honestly could have just lost the drive and the passion just because of everything that's crumbled around him. It's a shame. And, you know, this is all pure speculation, but hopefully, you know, if that's the case, he does find that spark again and he's back in no time. And we'll be hearing the same two words from Dave Grohl when he comes out.
Where's Kurt?
That's, yeah. Oh man, just imagine if that was the lyric instead of the best. It was just, where's Kurt? Where's Kurt? Where's Kurt? Someone needs to make that a video where he just says that over and over again. To the beat of the best of you. But...
And he's 16 years. He was born. There's discussion over the year of birth, right? His year of birth, either 81, 82 or 83. We're not quite sure. So, you know, these days, the prime for a lot of wrestlers, you know, it's not even something where you can still consider him coming back at some point.
I consider it by the end of this year, maybe, honestly, or maybe early next year. We'll see.
We'll see.
Or maybe he's, you know, true to his word until, you know, he gets a call from Saudi Arabia that the prince wants to see him.
Bring me the guy with the football mask.
Really dug him.
It wasn't a football. It was a baseball. What am I talking about? It was a baseball. I don't know sports.
But the Saudi guy confuses him for the goon.
There you go. That's the joke. Thank you for saving face on me. You're the best co-host ever.
You're welcome. So we go further south, and Warren, you caught some of this show. We're going to be talking about Action Jawbreakers. What'd you think?
Oh, I got it all. I watched it all. I watched the whole thing.
Oh, excuse me. He watched it all. So
I watched it all.
You think of it all.
I thought it was a good show. Like most action shows, I think action shows are really a sandwich where you really get some really, really good stuff to begin with, some really, really good stuff to end. And in the middle, well, then it's a little more hit and miss. This is where they bring out, you know, the young local guys, which is fine because that's what your promotion should be doing, right? That's what a local indie should do. Can't just bring in, you know, the big newly released WWE superstars all the time. You got to bring the local guys in. That's how you create your own like little stars, help these wrestlers grow and hopefully even on to bigger things. So this was one of those, but holy hell, Sean, Anthony Henry versus Alex Shelley, with Anthony Henry getting the win on Shelley on this one.
Big win.
Huge. And honestly, it's weird that we don't talk about, and I say, when I say we, I mean like, you know, the broader wrestling league discussions at large, that we're not talking more about Anthony Henry, because he's really out there and he's fantastic. He's really one of those that delivers and is so ridiculously talented on top of that, right?
I will say, when it came to Henry, a lot of my feeling towards him soured near the end of 2019, early 2020, where he was putting up a hissy fit that he wasn't signed yet, so he was going to quit.
I remember that.
Yeah, and then he didn't get signed at the end of 2020, at the end of 2019 into 2020. He still stuck it out, made the same you know announcement, and then got signed by NXT. And then we all know what happened with Asher Hale. He's Anthony Henry again. But I do see him a little bit more driven and a little bit more hungrier this time out on the indies than I've seen him previously. And that's not taken away, because he was in a very, or still is in a very good tag team with JD Drake in the Workhorsemen. But I feel like he's upped his level as a singles competitor. Like, he's fine-tuned himself in the Performance Center and has become a better, well-round performer out of it. And there's some cases where some of these recently released guys, Blake Christian is another one, that, you know, needed that fine tuning. He's a better talker. He's a just overall emotes better. He just feels a little bit more polished, and sometimes that's really what you need.
Well, like when I chatted briefly with Anthony Green at the C4 show, you know, I told him, you know, just laughing, saying, you know, as a fan, I'm thrilled that you're back on the indies, you know, and so on and so forth. And he was like, look, you never know what'll happen, you know, saying that he could go back. He could be called. Is he going to shut the door in WWE's face if they ever, you know, of course not. But he also said, you know, it's like, look, what I picked up there is stuff that I did not pick up, that I hadn't picked up on the indies. So it's a question of me just meshing the best of both worlds, you know. So that makes perfect sense. And, you know, sometimes, you know, in the case of Anthony Henry here, maybe, you know, being signed and it not working out is maybe it's a little sign, a little, you know, a little kick in the humility. You know what I mean? A little kick in the humbleness. That also can...
Eating, you know, that humble pie right now.
Yeah, you know, it knocks you off a couple of pegs, you know, kind of thing. But back to this match here. This comes strongly recommended. I think everyone should watch this match. I think it's a borderline match of the year, if only because, you know, it's very good, but I wouldn't blame anyone who has it on their list, you know, for the end of the year. I really wouldn't. But, like, I'm convinced that, you know, it's going to fall to the wayside. And I don't think all that many people saw it either. This was really, really fantastic. Just a great final exchange on top of that. Where we have you have Anthony Henry kicking out of the shell shock. He kicks out and transitions into a yes lock, which was fantastic. You get in and out of reversals. And he wins. He defeats Alex Shelley, who goes for another shell shock. And Anthony Henry beats him with the most devastating maneuver in all of pro wrestling, the roll up. So even on that front, you're like, too close to call. But really fantastic. Just absolutely fantastic. And this was the opener, man. This was the opener. On top of that, we had Kevin Koo defending the Action Championship against Ashton Starr, which was very, very good. With Koo ending the match with a PK and a gut-wrench sit-out powerbomb, which was great. Ashton Starr had this really nice... He interrupted... a buzzsaw kick by Koo and just wonderfully reversed it into a sharpshooter kind of thing. You're like, oh, this is nice stuff. Very, very good stuff. Physical. Kevin Koo's so good. Did you know that? Did you know that Kevin Koo is really good?
No.
Well, there you go. I learned it today.
Yeah. I learned something today. We're going to have what we learned at the end of the show. I already have mine.
We had Jaden Newman defeating Merrick, or is it Merrick or Marik?
No, it's Merrick Donovan.
It's Merrick Donovan, right? I don't know why I spelt it that way. I spelled it like it was pronounced to be Marik for some reason. Merrick Donovan, which was very good. Merrick Donovan, young prospect over there in the South. I think he's got it. I think he's got something. He has that pro wrestler vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how else to put it, but sure. He handles himself great in the ring. Looks like he's a fighter, and he fights. You know, like he's very good at it. I think this is gonna be someone to watch. I'm excited to see this guy develop. Because he held his own with Newman, who is, you know, maybe another one of these under-heralded workhorses. Would that be fair?
That would be fair. I think and it's a shame because like the Southeast produces some top talent as we're seeing, you know, Anthony Henry being one of them, Ashton Starr. He's been an up and comer rising through the ranks. AC Mack, your current IWTV champion, you know, he's another guy here, Jaden Newman, who's just been, you know, forgotten about because of where he primarily wrestles in.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. I'm glad that IWTV is finally, you know, putting a little bit more showcase, a little bit more of a, you know, importance around the Southeast with, you know, uncharted territory now being down in the Southeast. Not only that, but Action getting a little bit more opportunity to stream live instead of being on tape delay. So people are, you know, it's easy to forget. I mean, I understand at the same time, too, why people like to stream live, because it's much easier to remember if the promotion that you want to watch is live than it is on, you know, on a video on demand. You almost forget about it because it's buried a ton of different uploads that IWTV puts on in a certain day. So I get it in a sense, but like, he's a very good wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, he impressed me a long time. I mean, you know, watching Action and everything like that. His character work, you know, he went from like this clean cut good baby face into like this, you know, asshole dastardly heel in Action, and he's like the hero in TWE. So like two totally different, but he plays both sides well.
He does. He really does play both sides well. Merrick Donovan, by the way, I think he watches a lot of New Japan. I think he watches a lot of New Japan because I think I see a little bit of, you know, I want to be careful here because I'm not comparing him to Will Ospreay, but I see a lot of Will Ospreay's power offense. Let's put it that way in what he does. And then sometimes, you know, you'll see some Roman Reigns type moves, you'll see some Superman punches, then all of a sudden you'll see a hidden blade, you know, and you're like, okay, we're oh, okay. Well, I mean, look, if you're going to watch tape, might as well watch tape from the best and pick it up that way, right? That makes Agreed. A lot of sense. The Jaden Newman stuff continued in the next match because Jaden Newman has a little stable of dudes with one guy not necessarily excited to be there in the person of Aaron Wade. And he took on Matt Sells. They call Aaron Wade the baby dragon because he kind of really a lot looks like Bryan Danielson. he even does the top knot, the whole shebang. Matt Sells defeated Aaron Wade here. We had Merck defeating Eric Royal in a big sweaty match. We also got Airbnb versus Suplex Science tag team, which was a lot of fun. Fun tag encounter there. Adam Priest defeated Pete Youngblood, basically crushed him. It was an enhancement. And gave him some mic time as well. He challenged JD Drake to their match. Their upcoming, or at least, I forget the promoter's name, just completely slipped my mind, the Action, I can't can't remember his name, but he popped in the ring and he said, look, you want more competition? Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Popped in the ring and said, look, you want more competition? You want better competition? How about JD Drake in June? And he was like, all right, let's bring it. Adam Priest getting a bit, you know, some wind in his sails these days. You feel like there's a lot of support brewing for him right now.
Which is good. I mean, I think a lot of that also has to do with, you know, he had a really good match against John Gresham at New South. Yep. One of his final matches before he decided to spread his wings out on the independent scene a little bit. So I feel if he's in Gresham's good graces, it only means good things for him. And let's see him continue to take the opportunity and run with it, because he's getting better. You know, we talked a little bit about him because we know he was on Dark earlier today against Rohit Raju. And I you know, he's still growing.
Mm-hmm.
As a well-rounded, but I think getting these opportunities only helps, even if they're short matches.
I agree.
You know.
Sure. That's how you generate buzz, man. That's how it goes. Violence is Forever successfully retained the Action Tag Team titles against the Skulk. Shocker, it was really good.
No way.
I swear. I
remember...
Yeah, go ahead.
I missed the Skulk on Dark and Elevation. They were a fun tag team. I mean, I just remember them when, you know, Leon Ruff and all of them were in Evolve with AR Fox, and they were just, like, very fun to watch, very exciting. It's nice to see them get a little bit more time down in Action and, you know, promotions around in Georgia. I'd like to see them spread their wings a little bit. They're a fun team.
It really was, and it was a lot of fun. You know, as the match went on, again, this is one of those where you felt like everyone started clicking as the match went on. Everyone got the kinks out. Spike Gotch pile driver by Violence is Forever, chasing the dragon by the Skulk, and Violence is Forever. They do the stomps and elbows, Blackpool Combat Club style. Both of them in the middle of the ring, and then they both latch on submissions. So we got stereo submissions, and both guys in the Skulk pass out. So referee stoppage, they hang on to the titles. It was a lot of fun. And finally, AC Mack retained the IWTV World Championship against Anthony Green, regional heel Anthony Green, of course.
I love it. I love the regional stuff. It is such a territory thing. I get excited about it every time. I love when AC Mack comes up to the Northeast. He's hated there. I love seeing, you know, Anthony Green, Masha, when she came down earlier for Action to get her shot. And now even like Alec Price, he's made a couple of stops down south because he's the Bonestorm champion and mm-hmm. For SUP. It's just nice seeing that. And then, you know, I don't know, and we'll talk about it when we get to it, because there's one reaction that I'm really not sure if he's a heel at all. Well, but it would make sense.
Well, we'll see how that goes. But this was a really fun match. Very fast paced, as you would expect by two pros. Like, I mean, you know, there's you know, figure in your brain what an Anthony Green AC Mack match would look like. And this is exactly it. Spills out on the floor, dives, and some great power moves on top of that. AC Mack kicks out of the So Much Prettier, one of Green's finishing moves. Tit for tat, Anthony Green kicks out of the Mack 10. When Mack gets back up to his feet, Anthony Green says, Northeast first. So then he gets kicked in the mouth. And another Mac 10 does the trick. But it's wild because Anthony Green, I find, is so, like, he's super charismatic. He has, like, mm-hmm. this very personable attitude. You know, it's like you just go naturally to a guy like him, you know?
Yeah, but, you gravitate but you can't, him, but like...
Look, you're in the South. Mm-hmm. AC Mack is the man right now. Like, it's just as simple as that.
Imagine him with Ava Everett as her character.
Now that'd be really good. I hadn't thought of that. Oh, that'd be really good.
Yeah.
Shit. So that was the action show. Yeah, like I said, some pretty good stuff sandwiched within some very, very, very good stuff. But I highly recommend Anthony Henry and Alex Shelley. That ruled. And now
we close it out.
We're going to close it out with Uncharted Territory, Season 4, Episode 1, which is now on Mondays. And why is that, Sean?
Because it's Southeast first.
There you go.
And also, someone needs to knock down the juggernaut of Monday Night Raw to a peg.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I will say, this is, I feel, and this might just be because, like, I don't watch enough of the Southeast stuff, and, you know, shame on me, and I wanted to get better with that personally. But I did feel the pacing of the show was a bit different than what we see in, like, the Northeast shows. And even in some cases, like, the whole presentation and stuff like that, it didn't, and there's, I'm not going to discredit the ring announcer. He did a very good job, but it's not Rich Paladino. There's no excitement into it. Like, he's not, you know, telling you it's a fucking tag team match or whatever the case may be. I thought, you know, it fell flat in some spots and it didn't truly fully recover. I was really impressed by some of the stuff that's coming out of it. One of them being the potential Alec Price AC Mack match that they're hinting right off the bat on this show. And I couldn't be more excited. I think this is a great program for both of them. I can already see this happening almost in a neutral site, so that way, you know, the crowd wouldn't go crazy. Yeah, no favoritism. I am interested because it seemed like AC Mack was going to try to see who was the Masked Wrestler winner. We don't know who that is yet. But, you know, Alec Price came out there and pretty much kicked him out of his ring. And a better way to start the match with against AC Mack's best friend, Ashton Starr. That was a fun match.
It really was. It was my match.
Really nice opener. Yeah, my match in the night, too. Really quick, fast-paced opener. I really just enjoyed these two. I feel like they gel together very well. But Price is just on another level right now.
And he really again, is.
Insert what I said earlier in the show, insert what we say, you know, show after show. This guy is just on top of it right now.
He really is. He has the star quality, man. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And his work is up to par. Like, look, like I'm not a body guy. Like, I'm not going to be someone who's going to, you know, but I will notice when people, you know, change their physiques, right? And, you know, Alec Price has always been lean. He's never been like, you know, never been like me. But I feel like in this leanness, he looks even stronger. Like there's more definition coming in. You see he's hitting the gym more. You know, and I think it's reflective in his work as well. I thought this, I'm with you. I think I love this match. It was my favorite match of the evening. More Alec Price, please.
Yes, and I was also pretty impressed with the Jaden Newman-Alex Kane match. I really like Alex Kane a lot. I feel like he's one of those rising stars in that scene. I know he's the current middleweight champion, or openweight champion, excuse me, in MLW, but it's nice to see him really take, you know, the scene, really, you know, gravitate towards the more submission style. You could see him trying to really work the arms and legs of Jaden Newman. Newman was treated like a king here.
He really was. He really was.
So it was really nice to see. And it was a really fun match. I would say if we didn't see that opener, that would be my match in the night. But honestly, this show had some growing pains during it. I'm interested in seeing how it continues to develop. Obviously, with it being like the first true out of the Northeast, out of Beyond's hands, it's going to take some time to get used to.
Well, like I was talking to Kristen before, you know, I talked to her a lot actually, but you know, last night I was watching and she asked me, she was like, well, okay, well, how is it? You know? And the first thing I said is like, well, you know, I told her we're out of beyond. We're not in New England anymore. It's down south. So they're doing it another way. So it's a whole, and we lost the beyond production value. Like,
yes,
it's, and I understand the venue's different. There's, you know, there's a wall like straight up next to one side of the ring. So, you know, you're cut off from having, you know, camera people on the other side. So there, essentially there's one hard cam and one dude on one side of the ring who, by the way, really needs to up his game because he is the only camera guy. And, you know, if I spend 5 to 6 seconds in one shot looking at, the bottom of the chest, or at least, you know, everything cut off from the top.
Yeah.
I mean, that, if you're going to run two cameras, and I understand that that's the difficulty of the situation, right? I understand that logistically it's not going to be possible for them to have a full crew around the ring. Then whoever they have on the floor cam, man, has to up his game, because there were times where it was really, really, really rough. It was really rough.
It was, and I mean, even during the post-match promo with Merrick Donovan, the initial, like, when it was him and the ring announcer before Shook came in, it was very, like, shaky to get centered and stuff like that. I'm interested in the Shook story, what comes out of that, with Shook playing the old angry heel, bringing over his action wrestling character, but just being more of a douche about it now than he was really in action. So I'm excited to see where that leads to. If Merrick does end up, you know, succumbing to the pressure to Shook and joining with him begrudgingly, though only seeing the side, or we get a Merrick Shook match later down on the season.
Because this was part of the Discovery Gauntlet, like,
yes,
like they do on Uncharted, like Beyond did. Last season of Uncharted was Tag Team Discovery Gauntlet, which was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And so now they're doing it here. Like we said, it's Merrick Donovan who defeated Rico Gonzalez. And Shug, bitter veteran who, you know, I wouldn't want to say, like, because he's also, it's not unlike what Joey Janela's doing. Mm-hmm. But Joey's doing it just because he feels like he deserves it, you know, because his character is such an asshole to begin with. Mm-hmm. Shug is leaning into, I've given everything, I've done it all, and I keep getting overlooked by the hot new thing. So he's bitter more than, it's more bitterness than ego to a degree. Even though Shug's ego is healthy, don't get very me healthy. Wrong, he's driven more by frustration, disappointment, regret, bitterness. I think that makes it interesting.
It's a nice different side of it, too, than your occasional, like, bitter vet, too. The Joey trope is something that gets done, I think, a lot with, like, people that come back or some vets. Like, it happened, you know, if we were looking at this, this happened with Dolph Ziggler one draft, and then the next draft it happened with Sheamus, and he never really got over it.
Yeah.
But, like... Yeah. You know, it's one of those tropes that are you know, a tale as old as time. So it's nice to see something a little different with Shug, taking it to a different level. Just, you know, he's tired of being forgotten about.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that leads into a lot of things. We saw some good matches here from Adam Priest. He faced Damian Tangra, another up-and-comer on the Southeast scene, coming all the way from, I believe, Bulgaria, Tangra's from.
I think that's what they said, yes.
Yeah, so it's nice to see him there. He's still grasping it, but he does have that fun tag team with Alex Kane, Suplex Sign, so it's fun to see them, and it's also fun to see him in singles opportunities. I will say, I was a little disappointed with the... tag team title match between Violence is Forever and Culture Inc. I don't think it hit this level that they were expecting a little bit, and that's none fault on either team. I just think, you know, there was some communication mishaps and stuff in that match that it just felt hard for me to get into.
Note that I put here is the finish fell apart. That's the note I put down. Like, I think they tried a lot of things in the finish that just didn't click.
Yeah, it didn't hit right. And no, then it didn't. I felt the main event, I mean, with any Slade match, and I don't know if Slade didn't get booed because everyone's afraid of Slade, or just because people are genuinely feeling like Slade is such an attraction, like there's no reason to boo him. But Slade and AC Mack fought for the IWTV World title. AC Mack retains here. Honestly, I didn't know until they showed up that graphic in the beginning of before the match of how many times AC Mack has already defended that title.
Crazy! It's crazy the amount of times.
It's insane. Like, he wants to make that belt prestigious in the South. He wants, you know, he wants to get that first class treatment when he comes up North, where he'll, you know, he'll be coerced into defending the title, stuff like that. But it's crazy to see how many times he's defended that title in a short period of time.
Let me I'm just pulling up some stats here. Okay, he's defended it 11 times at this point. Okay, Alex Shelley had it for 105 days, and he lost it almost immediately. That's you know, that's not that big a deal. Wheeler Yuta didn't defended it 7 times.
Okay.
Lee Moriarty defended it 4 times. Warhorse, I think we'd have to go back to Orange Cassidy for. Okay, Warhorse defended it. Are you ready for this? 46 times.
Yeah, okay. So Warhorse had it in a longer period of time too, which is
532 days, correct?
If you really think about it, that's not a lot in that 546 day or 42 day period, whatever it was.
We'd have to do ratios at this point.
Yeah.
Like the nearest comparable right now. See, AC Mack has 110. Let's say Jonathan Gresham, who was the first, at 126 days, defended it 8 times. So already, AC Mack is showing up in regards to the Octopus. And what about Tracy Williams, just for the hell of it? Tracy Williams, 18 times.
How long did Tracy hold it for?
For 309 days. See, so not... AC Mack is going to be a defending, a fighting champion.
Which is good. It's a nice change. I mean, I'm sure, you know, we would have seen more with maybe Shelley and maybe even Yuta, but like...
Well, things happen.
To see that title defended more often than not. Indies where you want it defended.
Yeah, absolutely. And Orange Cassidy defended it 23 times over 2 reigns, though. Because he's the only 2-time IWTV world champion. So there you go. Oh, I think we may have lost you, Sean. Again, freezing up. But that's okay. That's okay. Well, there was also a little angle to this as well. Are you back, Sean? I think you're back.
I'm back, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll let you wrap it up then.
So, yeah, the angle at the end, it looked like, you know, Slade pissed off was beating the hell out of AC Mack to the point where he went under the ring, grabbed this nice little cinder block, because as we know, he likes to use them on the heads of his opponents, mainly Akira from the last Beyond show that we saw. The lights went out. And who is it but the Heathen Cruel right behind him, ready to fight? And I'm excited for that. This is going to be something crazy, a little bit wild. I think, you know, we'll get a little bit, you know, heavily on the hardcore element, which is something that we haven't seen really with the Beyond version of Uncharted. So we'll get a little bit more in terms of what we can see there. It'll be exciting. I'm excited for the stories that came out of this show. You have Cruel and Slade, you have AC Mack and, you know, Alec Price. A lot of good things. And then you have Barrick Donovan and Shug D coming out of this show to see where this is. I'm glad Shug's getting a shot here on Uncharted territory. I thought it was a shame that he's one of the Beyond originals and really hasn't been given the opportunity to really showcase himself. So I'm excited to see him here in the Southeast Uncharted territory.
Do you think he hates it when people call him Pineapple Pete? You think he?
Oh, yeah, I think he does.
Do you think he hates it now? Because he leaned into it for a while.
He did. He leaned into it for a while, but I think he hates it now.
I think so too.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
For understandable reasons. It'd bug me too. One quick note on the Slade thing.
Yeah.
You know, they said they had security taking care of him before the match, you know, making sure.
The Goldberg?
Yeah, but did you, the security guys, right?
Yeah, they're the ring crew.
The dopiest, like, you know, guys. And I thought it was like,
funny that AC Mac like took care of all of them too.
Yeah.
And when Slade tried to take care of one, AC Mac pushed him aside
and just like
took care of him. Yeah.
And I tweeted out,
I love indie security.
I'll tell you one thing. I took a screen cap of Slade with the three with the three dopes, you know. I say that respectfully and all with love and tenderness. I take a screen cap of Slade with the dopes, and I tweeted out something to the effect that, like, you know, no one's going to make me believe that this security was taking care of Slade, you know, before his match. And Beyond Wrestling retweeted it, and I was like, Drew, Drew's just stirring shit. Apparently he was there.
I'm not surprised. I thought I saw him, you know, backstage there. Yeah.
I'm sure everything's fine. I mean, it's good. I like the territory.
It's important.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
What's coming up this weekend, Sean? Very lightweight weekend.
It is, but it's still an exciting weekend. We get the second episode on Thursday of Enjoy Wrestling's Renegade. Edith Surreal versus Zicky Dice, and we got an 8-person tag. We got MSP, Mikey Montgomery, and Billy Dixon versus Wes Barkley, Josh Bishop, Ziggy Haim, and Derek Dillinger. It would be remiss if we didn't talk about the retirement, the in-ring retirement of Billy Dixon.
Yeah.
Very sad to see him go.
Yeah, earlier this week, even if I'm not mistaken, just yesterday, right, just yesterday, he pulled out his notes app and gave us a lengthy explanation onto why he's choosing to end his time as a wrestler, wants to focus on himself, wants to focus on his mental, physical well-being, and you can't fault him for that. He's clearly not giving up. You know, he's clearly going to continue being the Vibe showrunner. You know, I think he even pointed it out, if I'm not mistaken, in the in his farewell address. But I mean, this is a guy who, again, who's had an extremely interesting career. Wrestled a whole bunch of people, ECW legends. On top of that, like, you know, I can understand that at some point, you know, maybe he's just going to find a lot more gratification now working behind the scenes, putting on his shows, which are crucial for an entire community. On top of that, an entire community within the wrestling community, LGBTQ community. You know, good for him. And but I don't, at the same time, you know, it's a wrestling retirement. We know how those go. At some point, you get the itch again, and next thing you know, Billy Dixon's having a return match, you know, against Akira or some kind of weird shit like that. No, we lost Sean again.
I made a Broadway with Joey Janela. That's what I expect to see from Bill Dixon during his return. But yeah.
What is a Broadway against Joey Janela?
45 minute
Broadway with Janela. There you go.
Apparently Janela had a 30-minute match with Pat Buck over the weekend at WrestlePro. So
yeah. With Pat Buck. Pat Buck, really? I didn't see that at all. Like,
so
I didn't...
it was initially gonna be Dickinson and Janela, but
things happen. Well, Pat Buck is a fascinating
replacement.
Good for him, though.
Yeah.
I was super happy to see him on AEW. What was it, last week?
Last week. Where he came out to push back and stop Joe. Yeah, it was Rampage last weekend.
So that's cool. That's good. Good for him. Like, clearly.
Last Friday evening at 5:30. The prime wrestling time of 5:30.
Which gets all the ratings. But good for Pat Buck, too, you know? Mm-hmm. And clearly, you know, like he had stated that he wanted to spend more time with his family, so on and so forth, right? And of course, because the travel schedule with AEW is so much lighter, you just go.
It just makes so much more
fly
sense.
Fly in once a week and you fly back out. You're done.
Yeah. Then you're close enough that you can do the show on a Saturday in Rahway, New Jersey.
There you go.
So not only that, but we also have on Friday, our little favorite West Coast promotion, West Coast Pro, puts on Ill-Mannered. I think this is highlighted by Will Ospreay versus Titus Alexander. Can't wait for that.
In the short history of our show, it's going to be a barn burner. I think in the short history of our show, Titus Alexander is one of the guys that we are the most excited to see rise and develop. I think we both see something very special in this guy. And if he's getting Will Ospreay this early in his career, that's fantastic. And you know what? Here's the thing. He's getting a real deal push in West Coast Pro, right? Mm-hmm. Without outright saying, I would see Titus Alexander winning against Will Ospreay. I would see Will Ospreay losing this, not winning this match. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, based on how, you know, Titus has been booked, if Titus lose, it won't be a clean finish. It will make both look strong out.
Sure.
We got Vinny Massaro and but we got also Vinny Massaro and Biff Busick, which should be a nice hard hitting affair.
There you go, like this.
Give me some of them.
Yeah, it this and this. Like this?
Yeah.
If you combine the two.
Ooh. I like it. We might be onto something, and you may see a tag team form where they just do this.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. They come out to a Tony Bennett style rendition of Bro Him.
Oh boy. good stuff. I love it. What else we got? We got Thatcher versus Blackwood. This could go in one of two ways.
Yeah. It'll depend. Like, honestly, it depends on Thatcher.
Not only does it depend on Thatcher, but it also depends on the crowd if they're really interested in seeing Thatcher.
Sure. That's a good point. Because don't get me wrong. Like, I like Timothy Thatcher. Area. You know, I like Timothy Thatcher, but I can also highly appreciate that he's very, very spotty. Because sometimes he will just go down and grapple for 14 minutes and like, why? But then he can also flip a switch and just be super compelling, right?
Yeah. Down the rest of the card, we got AJ Gray versus Robert Martyr, JD Drake versus Levi Shapiro, which I can't wait for, Dark Sheik versus Billy Starks, The Conglomerate versus Reno Scum and Carl Fredericks. So a nice little strong flavor over here. And then we get the West Coast Wrestling Crew versus Bateman and Dutch. So a little interesting card there. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Friday night. And then also coming on Friday is Warren's favorite promotion from Ottawa, Canada, C4.
Which I will not be attending, unfortunately, this time. Headlined by Joey Janela versus The Viking. We've also got Jeff Cobb versus my revelation of 2021, Junior Benito. And the C4 tag team titles will be on the line. Violence is Forever versus Tiger and the Wolf. Other stuff on the card as well. Janai Kai is going to be on it. One called Manders is going to be on it as well. I think he's facing Lee, right? I think he's facing Myung Jae Lee. So, I don't know why the booking committee hates Myung Jae Lee so much. All they've been doing is putting him in these matches where these huge, violent dudes who just beat the shit out of him.
He had a decent little match at the LVAC show against Cheeseburger.
But he's great. He's really good.
He's very good.
His match with Jason Alexander at a couple of months ago at C4 was just fantastic.
He faced Jason Alexander from Seinfeld?
Josh Alexander.
Don't and come with after that, me.
And on that note,
you want to plug.
And on that note, we're going to wrap this one up. Of course, the C4 show is not streaming live. It will be available later on.
Probably airing after we record.
Yes, something like that next week. But always of note. And unfortunately, I can't make it this Friday. But there will be other opportunities. But there are no other opportunities than right now, Sean, than to tell us what's going on.
Nothing much. You know, nothing much. How about you? No, I've been, not much going on right now, but I have some stuff that I am thinking about cooking up pretty soon.
Well, there you go. In the meantime, you've got this. You've got this marvelous little showboat that we've got going here, which will be back next week. I, of course, do the Mr. Warren Hayes podcast right here on YouTube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes Thursday at 9 p.m. How about some WrestleMania Backlash 2022 thoughts? You're going to get them. I'm keeping an eye on this Kota Ibushi stuff because Japanese wrestling drama is the best drama out there in wrestling right now. Like, there's nothing in North America that compares to this right now. The best we have right now, Sean, I think is Eric Bischoff complaining to CM Punk, and that's lame as hell. Meanwhile, in Pro Wrestling Noah, management is kicking out the Booker because the Booker is putting on shows and taking too much money for himself off the show, like skimming some money off the top, you know? Oh no, it's fat. Like, it's real, you know, it's real juicy stuff.
That's real juicy. That's like, wow, okay.
See, that's the kind of backstage shit that I grew up on listening and watching wrestling and hanging out on the internet. Not this.
Honestly, that's what I live for.
Not this fucking Eric Bischoff and the ratings. That shit bores me to tears.
Yeah, that's the shit I crave. Give me more of it.
We'll see what happens. I mean, all of this Kota Ibushi stuff is really, really wild. And yes, Kristen Ashley, unfortunately, you did miss the whole show. But don't worry, because it will be available on demand shortly hereafter. So there we go. I guess we've gone through everything.
We've gone through everything.
It's time to wrap it up.
Now we ran out of time. Goodbye, everyone. Tape machines are rolling.
We'll see you all once again next week for more Hot Shakes and Hand Dogs. Enjoy.
What a show name. I love it.